in terms of the brand of an institution, you know, it shouldn't be, oh, we've got to brand ourselves. It's just, it should be, hey, we've got such a great culture. We've got so many great things going on. All we need to do is tell the world what we're doing. Frequently, openly, honestly. Here's a great project we got. Here's some great things our students do. Here's an industry award we got because we solved some real problems. Here's some outreach stuff. Here's some stuff we're doing in the not-for-profit sector. If you're doing that stuff, then the brand thing becomes very easy because you just tell your story openly and often.
Welcome to the Higher Ed Happy Hour podcast, brought to you by Unincorporated, a higher education agency committed to building awareness and growing enrollment for universities. This podcast provides deans, senior admin, and faculty with the tools, resources, and information they need to grow student interest, design branded content, and launch new programs and courses.
Hey everyone, this is Ian from Unincorporated, and I wanted to welcome you to another great edition of our Higher Ed Happy Hour. Today, I'm here with Mark Hodgson. Mark's an author, an advisor, an executive coach, and he excels at helping executives and entrepreneurs build their personal brand and influence. And he has inspired teams from both the commercial and not-for-profit worlds. He's here with us today to discuss the importance of brand building within higher education. And our plan, as I understand it, is to discuss branding at all levels. And that means including the faculty, the student, the administration, the degree program, and even the institution at large. So we've got a lot to cover. Mark, welcome to the show.
Ian, it's fantastic to be here. Looks like we've got a bit of work to do.
Yes, we do. We do. I mean, as you know, branding is such a comprehensive effort in and of itself. And then we start to look at the institution of higher ed and we think, okay, branding at the institutional level, the degree level, the individual level, whether it's faculty or staff, it's a lot to cover. So why don't we just get started with maybe the broadest question, which is, you know, can you share some insights or from your perspective, why is personal branding even important at all? Why are we talking about personal branding within the constraints or the constructs of higher education?
A lot of this is linking higher education, the purpose of higher education, which is to produce, you know, great citizens, contributors, business people, entrepreneurs, et cetera, which means professionals in the world. And we now live in a digital age, which is accelerating at a crazy pace. And I think it's just an imperative that every single professional has a personal brand, which fundamentally, I like to say it's our personal shop window to the world. And it lets the world know that we're open for business. And it was interesting in preparing for today's podcast. You know, I think a lot of the maybe where the area of opportunity is to take academia's great, but it's also, as we know, it can be its own ivory tower. But academia of itself is great, but where academia really creates value is as academia affects the outside world, society, markets, commerce, whatever. And so the personal brand piece is really important, that people are actually able to tell the world what they do, how they create value. And I think that is really important at an individual level, at a personal level, but also at an organizational or institutional level. And in terms of the personal brand, you know, we're in those days now where people, as they go through their careers, and I see that the academic piece is very much the foundation piece of many parts of our career. I mean, I went to university many years ago in the UK, and it's a foundation piece, but I've evolved and done many, many things since then. So but the brand, we need to build a personal brand that belongs to us and is portable as we do these multiple careers and, you know, project pieces, whether you stay in academia, go out into the marketplace, become an employee, become an entrepreneur. You know, we need to take a brand with us in our backpack. So it needs to be distinct. It needs to tell the world what we do, how we add value, and also why we're different. But crucially, it needs to belong to us, not an organization or an institution, which is where many people's brands, most people either have no brand or their brand is, I work for Big Co. I'm the general manager at Big Co, which is kind of, that's okay all the time you work for Big Co, but what happens when you don't? So I think every single professional needs to have a personal brand. And therefore, getting back to your question, every single student or professor or faculty member needs to have a personal brand in the digital world that tells the world they're open for business.
Yeah. And just to add on or underline one of the points you made there, that personal brand needs to be flexible and moldable enough so that if they were to leave the institution or upon graduation or upon taking a new post at a different university, that that can actually travel with them, right? That they don't lose their sense of identity in that process, that it actually becomes part of their identity as it evolves from one place to the next.
Exactly right. And I say, you know, I'm 58. So when I left university, it was probably assumed that you would take a role in a multinational or something. I'm making it 2, 3, 4 different companies in your 30 something year career. Now, as we know, that's probably going to be 20 or 30 different projects or employment pieces, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it doesn't make sense, does it? You need to have, and also when you go to a new thing, you don't want to start over. You want to build, and your brand, if you think about it, is a combination of your reputation. It's a combination of your expertise. It's a combination of your experience, but also we might come on and talk about this a little bit more. I think the third aspect of your brand is your essence, which is your passions, your characters, your traits, what you like, what fires you up, what ticks you off. You're capturing that in an authentic brand. So your expertise, your experience, but also your essence. Is such a fantastic, it's a powerful, personal and unique sort of package of who you, if you think about it, that's who you really are. That's who most of us are. If we can show up in our personal brand as who we really are, it's very attractive to the right people. And we're looking for the right people who want to work with us, employ us, work for us, whatever. So the brand is, and to not have a personal brand in a digital age where, if you think about it, what's the first thing that most of us do when a new person we don't know comes across our radar? We'd probably jump onto the web. We might Google them, or we might go onto a LinkedIn profile, and then we'll say, who's this lady, who's this guy, and we form an impression, don't we?
We do.
And if there's not much going on in their personal brand, we'll probably immediately pigeonhole these people as, I know, they're the mid level or they're low level or they're, who are they? We'll probably move on to someone else who, they look more energetic, they look more credentialed, whatever. So that, I think the whole idea, probably the first, out of today's talk, probably the first thing I'd encourage most people listening is, if you haven't got a personal brand, start building one. And we'll talk more about what that actually entails. And I know it can sound scary, but start building one, because I think in a digital age, and it clearly is a digital age, for you not to have an online presence that tells the world what you do, who you are, how you add value, and why you're different is a massive, massive impediment in any context.
Yeah. So you said something earlier that really caught my attention. It's really the first time I've actually heard someone articulate it in this way, which is that academia adds value because of the transformational impact it has on the outside world, the way it shapes the outside world, as I believe how you put it, which we sometimes think of academia as this insulated, free of any relationship or contextual connection to the outside world. And yet you're saying that's one of its most fundamental ways it adds value, is the way it shapes the outside world. I think that's very astute and extremely accurate. And then I think about the idea of transformation on the outside world. The experience as a student going through university, going through your college degree, that in itself is also very transformational. It is a transformational experience we go through as students in our 2, 4, 6, 8 year program of choice. So in that process of being transformed, in that process of finding our essence, you said that a brand has essence, right? As students are doing essence finding, as they're discovering themselves, how can faculty and administration help? What steps can they take in order to enhance that process of a student finding their personal brand?
As we say, academia is in and of itself a fabulous thing. Probably, I suppose, where the brand conversation really it creates value, I think, is at probably the intersection, the interface between the academic institution and body and the outside world, the commercial world, for example. Mm-hmm. If the institutions can encourage students and faculty to really be present and in their brand. To be specific, one of the main what people are going to develop their brand and show up in their brand and develop their own thinking is through creating content. So it's content, commentary, and there's multiple platforms, but probably the most obvious one is LinkedIn, because there wouldn't be many people listening to this podcast who aren't on LinkedIn. And if you aren't, you really probably should be as a professional academic or a professor or whatever. As I see it, I think there's a real opportunity for the often inward-looking academic institution to encourage the students, the undergrads, to actually think more broadly about how they apply what they're learning, post that on LinkedIn, get involved in conversations on social media, maybe about applying what they're learning or discussing or just really bringing to life what they're talking about in relation to the external world, not just the academic, not just the things I need to do to get the grades to pass my courses, but actually, okay, how do we apply this? So I think one of the main things that I would be encouraging undergraduates to do, for example, is to make sure start to follow your industry, where you're going to go to start getting involved very early on in understanding what's the industry talking about. And also, hopefully, you're going to have new insights, learning new things, new information, new data. As you start commenting early on in the piece to actually say, that problem you've currently got in that area, actually, it's interesting. We're currently studying some new theories now at XYZ Uni, and we think there's some opportunities to do this, or in another country they're doing that. So that might be something to think about. And I know as probably young undergrads, they might feel a little bit overwhelmed by that, but it's a real opportunity. And the reality is at some point you're going to leave uni, you're going to want to get a job. So it's much better to have started that kind of discourse and interaction and learned the skills of creating commentary and creating content that's going to be engaging, that people are going to want to comment on and be attracted to. So I think that's a really solid thing that I'd be encouraging undergraduates to develop. And so therefore, if the institution can maybe set projects or generally encourage people to, it's almost like imagine here a circle where the institution's a circle, but we've got to encourage people to interact at the intersection where the circle meets the rest of the world, because that's the rest of the world where most of the people, not everyone, but most of the undergrads aren't going to stay in academia all their life. Most are going to leave. I think one of the best things we can do is help them through their brand and through their content translate what they're learning, what they're thinking, as you said, how they're growing as adults and forming their own opinions, how we can actually take that out into the world rather than it sort of existing in a bubble.
And now we're going to take a quick break. Want more of the most important higher ed news, insights, and perspectives, but don't have time to look for it? Visit unincorporated.com to subscribe to our higher education news brief, where you'll get the top stories in higher ed delivered straight to your inbox every Monday. And now, back to the discussion.
I think it's quite profound, the idea of developing the brand, but also sharpening the identity, sharpening the brand, and then encouraging faculty and staff and administration to help the student really not only develop, but sharpen their point of view, through the use of content and commentary.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about early writing assignments even. You're taking your writing credentials, your basic requirements, first, second year of college. When did a faculty member ever come to you and say, look, what you're writing is a reflection of your personal identity. This is a reflection of your point of view. This is a way for you to start developing your own brand identity. So I think even just like kind of framing the assignments, even if they're not publishing to LinkedIn or otherwise, just even bringing some awareness to the fact that what you're creating content-wise and commentary-wise within class, within that safe haven, is part of that development and sharpening process that you alluded to.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple of ideas there, Ian. The first one is I always think the best way to think is to write. It's a honing process. It's a great way to get your thinking sharper. But I did a postgrad degree. Oh, it would have been about 15 years ago now. And I remember it was one of the, it was completely online, which back then would have been quite, it was in change leadership. change management degree.
Very avant-garde of you to do something online back then.
Well, exactly. And what was interesting is we did a lot of the assessments where I'm sure this is quite common now, where a question was posed and then there was a thread created. It was a clunky interface. But it was a thread created, and then you had to comment not only on the original question, but you had to comment and evolve on the thread. So you got marked down if all you did was just answer. So the trick was to get in early before you had to, because then you just had to answer. Right. If you got in late, you had to read the question and everyone's commentary. So it was an evolving conversation. You know, fast forward 15 years. That's exactly what great online commentaries, like LinkedIn, for example, can be like. So there's no reason at all. I mean, I think it would be a very valuable, I don't know if it's done, a very valuable exercise to actually set exercises, but actually put them out in the public domain. So the university can post, here's a question we're currently working through in our year two, whatever, on subjecting, and then encourage the students to do that commentary I'm talking about, but in a public arena. Because then you can attract commentary from experts, other people in the marketplace. And I think that'd be a really interesting, to an extent, it's a little bit of a social experiment, but I think it not only tests the thinking of actually referring to whatever the coursework's about, but it also, when you actually invite the great unwashed public in as well to see what they think, and they see what you're doing. And I think that's a great way to, I guess, blend the academic process, but also with the real world process. And I think that done well, because we've talked later on about an organizational, the institution's brand. If a university is doing that in the public domain and encouraging people from the the general public, if you like, to interact with stuff, I think, and if that can be managed well, I think that'd be a great way to kind of to cross that divide, which I think, and the personal brand piece and the content creation piece is a very powerful way in basically getting the learning out of academia and into the world. And we do that, and what we want to do is obviously equip our students to be successful, and we want them to be have good levels of influence and build respect and trust, and all of these. That's a great way to do it, rather than just walk around with a resume going, hey, I've got all these degrees and I'm very smart. And the world goes, okay, now what are you going to do for me? What else have you got? And the brands are, I think a brand's like the personal brand piece in a digital world, you need, as well as your resume and all your credentials and so forth, you also need a great brand, because the piece that's important, and we will come on to talk about this, I'm sure, is a big part of the brand is your ability to communicate in a way that other people will respond to and react to. Busy world where everyone's got too much going on, it's very important to write and post and create videos and so forth in a way that people will engage with, which is not an academic, hey, here's 5,000 words with a gazillion references. Most people are not going to engage with that unless they're forced to. So that's an interesting issue as well.
That is. Yeah, there's a handful of good follow-up questions within there. I think part of the conversation that you have online when you start to test or express your brand is the feedback and the inputs and maybe some critique or criticism against the commentary. So how much flexibility do you allow for a student, or maybe even think about the faculty member, to adjust their identity? I mean, how important is it to sort of stand your ground and say, this is where I've planted my flag, this is who I am and what I believe, and how much of this is an evolution based on the feedback that you receive from the brand identity that you're expressing?
The answer to that is I don't know, but isn't that a great place to be finding out? Maybe we've got a pet theory that we've got that kind of, the undergraduate kind of certainty and confidence in, and we go, hey, no, this is the way to do this. I've read a book on it. I've read three books on it. And then someone from the real world goes, actually, no, that doesn't work, and here's why. It doesn't work now. Here's why. So therefore, what can we evolve? And that's the process of learning, isn't it? It's that iterative process of here's an idea, here's a hypothesis. Okay, let's test this. And I think it's interesting. I think in that context, this is a great way to test some things. But also, I think a real value for the student is to have their raw ideas or their highly theoretical ideas. Yeah, they haven't pressure tested with input from the marketplace, if you like. that's a great learning, because that's going to happen, you know, when they walk out the door with a degree. That's certainly going to happen. So if you can, if they can, that can be part of the process. I think that's a really positive thing, you know. And also it builds their, I mean, we talked about the idea of people's essence. It's a great way to build that, you know, to stress test and evolve and, you know, and temper, if you like, temper their, in one sense, just sort of theory, and actually blend, you know, expose that to practical application and reality and market realities and so forth early in the piece, such that they get stronger through the process and learn more, and B, when they finally enter the marketplace, whatever that looks like, they're probably better equipped. And also, if we've done this well, if the institution has engaged in this and encouraged this opening, I think it actually says a lot of it creates value for the brand of the institution as well, I know academia doesn't see itself just as a breeding place for people to go and get great jobs. I know that's it's not the only thing. It's one thing, and there's lots of other research and other things that are important. But for many people, that's a big part of it.
That is. So you provided a few answers to this question already, but I'm going to see if we can dig a little deeper. But in terms of, you know, why it's important to consider or help enable the development of a student's personal brand as part of their learning process and part of the outcomes that they receive from this effort, you mentioned, well, this is a great way to find out who you are. This is a great way to test your learning, your thinking, really, you know, stress test what you believe in and what you stand for. And by focusing on one's personal brand identity development, this is a way to accelerate that development, that personal development. Yep. Are there any other reasons why you would emphasize or make a case for why it's important to build a student's personal brand identity?
If you can show up in your personal brand as who you really are, which means, you know, warts and all, great ideas, you're authentic, you talk about what you're interested in, you talk about the problems you're working on, you talk about the solutions you think that the identify problems, identify solutions. And if you can do all that in your own personality, which is the essence piece, if you can do that and show up as who you really are, then it's extraordinarily powerful. And it becomes almost, if you like, an online consistent commentary of kind of where you are in life, in work and life. And I always talk about this idea of what we want to do to be successful in life is build our tribe, and it's attract to us that it might only be a few hundred people, but the group of people who are going to who value us might employ us, they might advise us, they might support us when things are tough. But fundamentally, there's a group of people who we grow and evolve with, and it does change this group, this tribe. And we move through life with that tribe. And as we say, if we keep moving through multiple jobs, maybe we live in multiple different countries, different roles, life goes well, life goes badly. You know, there's a whole load of different things that can happen. But the brand, the brand sits right in the middle of that. And when we get to the point where we can show up as who we really are, that is both extraordinarily attractive to the right people, the right tribe. And it's also actually becomes very enjoyable and very easy to actually write that content. And I think when we talk a lot about the content, often with the content that we need that brings our brand to life is really it's about commentary and describing what you're seeing, the problems you're working on, projects that you're currently attracting your attention, things that you're doing well, maybe things we're messing up. We've got this big challenge in our sector right now. We tried this and it didn't work. Okay. This is what we did wrong. But here's three things we think are going to work, and we'd love to get some insights from other people. What do you think? That kind of conversational tone in our brand is lifelong. It's very authentic, and it actually becomes very easy. But also, it will keep that tribe piece moving for us, and it will keep us evolving as we go from student through to what I called wise elder. And most people don't have a brand. Most people are put off by the idea of, in some version, of putting themselves out there. Many people have this mistaken thinking that to create content and to have a personal brand or to become a thought leader, you've got to be Einstein, and everything you say in your content's got to be amazing or revelatory, and it really doesn't. It's you can be a thought leader in your sector and in your marketplace and be very niche, really just by having that ongoing conversation with the right intent. And the intent is, here's some problems I'm seeing, here's some patterns we're kind of observing. I'm not quite sure. We haven't got all the answers, but here's three things we're thinking might be the way to go right now. That kind of tone, that's how what thought leadership looks like. And I mean, I know there's 1,000 professors listening to this who probably could be doing this and aren't doing this. And it's so powerful. When people can do that, it's very valuable for other people, but also for the individual, it's very valuable because you actually become attractive. You know, when you get invited to be on panels, you get job offers, maybe you attract funding or research funding, or there's a whole lot of benefits to it. And I say, when you can get to that point where you can show up in your personal brand as who you really are, creating content that's really just describing what you're observing and doing, it's really powerful. It's fun, and it has great commercial value. So I'm not sure I answered your question, but that's kind of how I see it.
You did. I mean, the question was, why? Why is it important to have students thinking in this direction? And I think you gave us quite a breadth of an answer there. What if we were to flip the script now? You mentioned the word tribe, and the alma mater, one's university is their tribe, right? They have it down to the color, to the mascot, to the sports team. What role does the student now play, or what responsibility, if any, does the student play in contributing to the thought leadership of their university, of their tribe at the institutional level? Is there any kind of responsibility or thinking that you would advocate for in terms of how a student contributes to that?
I don't think they would have. I wouldn't say they have a responsibility. I'd actually flip it back and say, what is the institution doing to to really make that something that you want to do? It comes back to there's a question of what is a university's brand? How do we do? How do we make that? How do we make that stand out? And I think, with so much of this, it's an overused word, but at the heart of all of this conversation sits authenticity. Because I think when we talk about brand or personal brand, people kind of think, I got to go. It's like some kind of makeover. I got to go and, we got to put our best clothes on, and we got to put our Sunday best on and look like we're amazing all the time. Or, we're just fantastic all the time. And it's kind of the shiniest version of ourselves. We want our brand to be the best version of ourselves, but we also want it to be honest and authentic. You really describe stuff that's going on. And so I think that cuts both ways. I think that means that, in terms of the brand of an institution, it shouldn't be, we've got to brand ourselves. It should be, hey, we've got such a great culture. We've got so many great things going on. All we need to do is tell the world what we're doing. Frequently, openly, honestly. Here's a great project we got. Here's some great things our students are doing. Here's an industry award we got because we solved some real problems. Here's some outreach stuff. Here's some stuff we're doing in the not-for-profit sector. If you're doing that stuff, then the brand thing becomes very easy because you just tell your story openly and often. Now, to answer your question, if an institution's doing that, openly, often, and doing it well, and with the right heart, and not with some kind of commercial angle, which is probably in a whole lot of the conversation, then I think the alma mater would be very happy to be involved and engaged, and they're proud to be back in and go back and help young students. And I think that it becomes a lovely, a virtuous cycle, doesn't it? But I think it actually starts with it. Again, it's got to be something you want to do, not something there's some kind of sense of responsibility. After you leave for the first year, we expect you to show up on social media saying we're an amazing institution. No one's going to do that.
Yeah. I'm immediately thinking about both my role as a faculty member who helps designers make that transition between senior year of design, and then also my responsibility to help elevate the status or the reputation, the brand of the art department itself at the university. So the student senior exhibit is kind of a place. You talk about these intersections. This is a place where both of those things happen. It's a place for the student not only to showcase their voice, their point of view, through the visual arts and media that they create, but it's also a way for the faculty and the university to kind of prop up themselves by showcasing the work of the students. And I think you see that also in papers and publishing, definitely at the graduate level, right, where people are, faculty are publishing white papers or maybe even appealing for Nobel Peace Prize recipients. So thinking about the faculty now, what other ways might the faculty make an investment or pursue this idea of brand building? How else might the faculty showcase their own expertise and thought leadership?
Yeah, for the faculty, I think a lot of, I mean, again, it would be interesting. I don't know the stats. I wonder how many faculty actually have a brand, have actually invested in their personal brand other than saying I'm Professor such and such at, you know, big university, and which is impressive. And as we know, the way academia ranks itself and on which university you go to, and, you know, oh, and that one, all that, my university is slightly better than yours, all that sort of that league table thing that goes on, which is kind of funny. But, you know, just saying I'm professor something from such and such a university, the brand you're actually relying on is the brand of the university. It's Harvard or Stanford or Oxford or whatever. And the brand you're actually saying, no, the brand is it's Oxford. That's very impressive. And therefore, because I'm a senior person at Oxford, therefore I am impressive. That's kind of the linkage there. And that's true, but it's also, it misses the opportunity, I think, for the individual to create their own brand, which complements the institution, and it should complement, and it must complement to some extent. It can't be completely at odds with it, but it's a missed opportunity because, you know, academics can and should be creating that brand, telling the world what they're doing. I think one of the interesting things is that where there's probably a need for a pivot or an adjustment or filtering, which I think probably is a good exercise, is to translate academic, if you like, content with all the length and the breadth and the complexity and the references and so forth. You put that on social media, on LinkedIn, no one's going to read it because it's too dense and probably too long. And yes, sorry, some people will read it, but that's not really the point of what you're going to be doing. The opportunity is to maybe take some things you're working on and say, how do we make this accessible, or the key ideas, the key principles in here, or the key recommendation, how do we make that accessible to more people and test them as well? Here's some ideas, but why don't we put this out in the world, see what the world thinks about them? So that actually there is a challenge for academics to think about how they communicate and how they write. So how do we smarten it down? How do we say in 5,000, how do we say in, you know, a 400 word short post, the three or four key elements of what might be a, you know, the 10,000 word white paper? So, and that's a really interesting, and there's quite a lot to that, but it is its own skill. You know, it's the brevity, it's the conciseness, but also it's the changing in palette. So it's got to be probably less formal. And I think there's a strong opportunity for academics to kind of think, how do I write this in a different way? How do I write this in? Maybe I cut this up into 10 different pieces. Yeah, here's 10 old thought pieces based on my dissertation or whatever, or some big thing we're doing that might be useful to the world. What do you think? And it's that linguistic palette switch. Maybe they do little videos, but fundamentally, how do you reinterpret your, and obviously they have deep subject matter expertise, but how do we reinterpret that and recut it from a communications perspective such that it works on platforms like LinkedIn and others? Because that's, I think if we can do that, that is super powerful. And yeah, you would know, I mean, there are some academics who've done that and gone on to be extraordinarily, inverted commas, famous, because we know they're smart, but then they're actually, you know, they've also created that layer where they're able to, the capability of actually able to help people who aren't maybe university students to understand some of the concepts. And it's super, very powerful. So somewhere in that, I think there's a really good opportunity to rethink what you're saying, how you're communicating it, and by doing that, again, I think it'll be good for their own thinking, but also it will build their brand such that they're not just XYZ from a professor something from big university. They're actually that as well as that, they've got their own reputation. And I've worked with a couple of university professors. One particular, Dr. Mark Williams, and we took him from a professor of neuroscience at Macquarie University. And now he's running his own sort of a business, just written several books. And a lot of the work we did was having to kind of say, well, no, he'd send me some pieces. And then we've got to take all the references and stuff, because that's just, no one's going to read that. And we've got to really get to the essence of what you're thinking. And it's been fantastic.
Yeah. So many good points in there. I'm going to highlight a few of them that I heard.
You set it up.
Yeah. I mean, that was great. What a great full answer. And I will second this hypothesis that you made, which is not many faculty or academics take the time to curate and develop their personal brand, because we serve a lot of universities, a lot of degree programs, and we find ourselves advocating for this type of brand building for the faculty. And we'll get to why that is important here in a moment. But you're right. They don't spend the time. They're leaning on just their title and just the institution's name as the thing that matters most. But of course, we know that is just the first touch point. There's so much more beyond that that a faculty or academic could be sharing with their audience, especially those prospective students. And this idea of parsing your long form written content or video content, smartening it down, we need to smarten it down. I just want to plug that. That is a great phrase. I think everyone should use that. And the point of view, as it changes form into this new palette, right? And the process of changing the palette in itself, I think is that in itself is a necessary skill when it comes to the way that learners learn these days. In other words, you're going to hit your student or be in front of your student for maybe 6 to 9 minutes at most with the content that you have prepared for your lecture. And if it isn't smartened down and you don't know how to speak in this new digital language and currency, then you're going to be an ineffective educator. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly right. I mean, the reality is that in a busy, crazy digital world, we have to win the right to get someone's attention. Mm. Now, that might sound ridiculous, but I'm a professor and they're students and they've come in. That's true. And they should give you their attention, but you can't assume it. And you certainly can't just say, look, you're going to sit and I'm going to smash you for an hour with a really heavy, dense piece of thinking. As you say, we've got to change the palette, and often, you know, without going into massive detail, often it's a case of summarizing where you're trying to get to in the next hour, or you say the next. Well, here's where we're going today, and we summarize that in the first minute. Create a sense of what the destination is, and then let's chunk that down, and then take people on a journey. And as you would know from the StoryBrand piece, it's create a narrative, tell a story. That's not to make it childlike. But you know, take people on a journey, and if we can do that with our content, if very smart people and professors are very smart people, faculty are smart people, you know, it's the skill to say, oh, I know you're smart, but you've got to make it in a way that's accessible to me. If you can do that, that's a different form of. I mean, that's much more valuable, really, other than me going, hey, I guess you're really smart, but I got no idea what you're talking about.
I mean, this is their own form of professional development. Right, is learning this new skill, learning this new language. And if they can't do that, how effective are they going to be in the long term from an education standpoint or educator standpoint?
Yeah, exactly. And also, I mean, I don't want to sound like, I'm not saying dilute everything. I'm saying, the full-blown academic piece with all the references, that, of course, it has its place and it's important. But it's about being able to shift gears, isn't it?
Yes.
It's what's the communication that we need for the audience we're trying to reach and the place we're trying to reach them. And what's the best way of what's the best way of doing that? And we've got to think about that. And it's not just saying, I don't care. Here's the way I do it. You receive it. I don't care how you receive it. I'm transmitting it like this. You pull the bones out of that. And some people will be able to do that. But if most people can't, then I'd say that's a failure of communication. And as I say, coming back to the brand context, it's such a missed opportunity. Because there's so many smart people with lots of resources who've got beautiful, wonderful ideas, amazing minds. And if they can change those gears, you know, smarten stuff down and put it out on social media in their own brand, I think there are extraordinary opportunities for them.
Absolutely. And I think there are some great examples of that in today's age where, like, you know, I'll follow someone based on the content on social. And then later I'll find out they're a PhD in neuroscience, or they've written long form white papers, peer reviewed white papers in astrophysicists. I'm thinking of Neil deGrasse Tyson,
Yep.
Right. And how he's able to take these huge cosmological astrophysicist concepts and break them down into these 60-second reels. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And it adds more credibility to his brand, but it also allows him to maintain, I guess, the authenticity or the authority of his study and his research, but make it transmitted or deliver it in a way that is approachable and accessible.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's changing up and down the gears. I think it's a great skill. And if anyone's listening to this who has not started this, yes, you might. It will feel a bit clunky and a bit weird at first, but I really encourage you to do it because I think it could be quite revelatory to people who've only academics who've only ever done long form academic stuff in the academic format. If that's all you've ever done, the ability to rewrite, to change gears in a different way, reinterpret what you know, your content, your thinking, your theories in a different way is a great way of learning. And as we've talked about, some massive benefits for your brand. And commercial opportunities and community opportunities and so forth.
Yeah, reach, impact, right? Add to the list. Lots of reasons why I think we've convinced the faculty members listening. Let's talk now from the administration standpoint. And they're launching new degree programs, or maybe they're running degree programs that are competitive with one another. I mean, how many online masters of business administration are out there now for a student to choose? And if they're not choosing purely based on the name of the university or the institution, they have to pick or choose for other reasons. This is why having a identity or a brand for your degree program is important. But why else might it be important for an administrator to really figure out how to differentiate or build a brand identity for their degree program or program of interest?
Well, I think you've answered your own questions because they want to get bums on seats. They want to enroll students, and they should do it. And this, I don't know if this sounds naive or idealistic. Is your MBA program, is it awesome? And if it's not awesome, make it awesome. And once it's awesome, then go and tell the world about it and why it's awesome. If you just come up with some cookie cutter here, and we've all seen we've seen those show reels of multiple MBAs and some campus shot or whatever, some version of it. But if they're all same, where's the distinction? Why would someone choose you versus someone else? And then what do they choose on? Do they choose on price or do they choose on reputation? Yeah, there's all that sort of thing. And also, if you're projecting something that isn't true, how many people are going to come along and say, and they're going to drop out, or they say, well, oh, you said it would be this and it's that.
Right.
I mean, the brand, ultimately, the brand thing is actually quite easy because it's about telling the story of what actually exists and is authentic. So if you haven't got a good brand story to tell, you haven't got a good story to tell. So if that's where you are and you're stuck at, then okay, we'll get some PR people and we'll put lipstick on a pig and say it's amazing. And if it's not, but I'd say again, maybe this sounds make your course amazing. Yeah. And if we take pull on some of the things we talked about today, maybe making it amazing is not in terms of the curriculum, but it's in the way the curriculum's brought to life. Maybe it has more social media elements. Maybe there is more interaction with local businesses. Maybe it's done in a way that is more imaginative or contemporary, or I don't think it's necessarily the content needs to be any different, or so the curriculum needs to be any different, but how do you bring it to life for students and the student experience, the customer experience? If you can do that well, which is, and those things are not necessarily big money or investment things, they're mindset things, they're cultural things. If you can build a great culture around your degree or your program, then the brand story, I think, actually looks after itself. So I hope that doesn't sound evasive, but I think that's the reality. Because a brand first and foremost needs to be authentic. If it's not authentic, it's just false, isn't it? And then sooner or later, someone's going to call it out and say, well, that's, you said it was this and then it was that. It's like, we go on a holiday and it looks amazing. Yeah, the hotel looks amazing. It's got the beautiful blue sea, an amazing facility. Then you get there and it's a bit run down and the sea's brown, not blue. You're like, hold on, that's not what you sold me. And it's inauthentic. So I think, I'm mixing a few things up there, but I think create a great program first, and then selling it will be easy.
Yeah. And I think we can scaffold what we've been talking about to this point in the sense that it is a group effort, meaning if you focus on developing the advocate, the brand advocate at the student level, and helping them find their voice and share the content and have that perspective and that commentary.
Yeah.
And then you're encouraging your faculty to do the same and empowering them. Then all of a sudden you have the student and faculty within your program making it awesome. And the story is unfolding itself. So in a way, it's a very holistic thing. And if everyone's playing their part, then it kind of, the problem answers itself.
I agree, absolutely. And interesting, and you've summarized it really nicely therein, but I think the point is, in everything I heard there, and I tend to, I'm a commercial guy, so I look at things through a commercial lens. Everything you said there is achievable to probably anyone listening to this. This nothing you said is, oh, by the way, all you need to do is throw in $1 million. This is a mindset and cultural activity and investment of our time and goodwill and energy thing. It's not you need $1 gazillion to do this thing.
Yeah.
That's which hopefully to people listening, that both inspires them, but also challenges them, because no one listening to this has got an excuse for why that can't be done.
Yeah. Well, as you know, everyone needs a good guide, and they may have signed off or bought into this idea of why it's important, but how, Mark? Well, how might our audience, if they're struggling with this challenge, how might they find an answer or find a good guide? Is there any resource or way that you could help them?
There's a couple of things I'd love to make available to people listening to this. So the first is I've devised a short diagnostic. It takes about 90 seconds. You answer 9 questions about what you're currently up to in terms of your brand. And then you get a personal brand report, which is about 20 pages. And it tells you where you are on what I call the influencer dial. And the influencer dial has five levels. It goes from asleep to agitated to active to amplified to awesome. So we'll find out where you are from the asleep, which means sleep is like, I have no brand. There's nothing going on. Please don't contact me. To awesome, which is like, I'm all over this stuff and it's amazing. So I'd really encourage you to do that. You'll get a report, tell you where you are, tell you what some things to get you going from where the level you are to the logical next things to do. There's also a free resource, a workbook. It's called Unlocking Your Value. And it takes you through a process, because I think a lot of people, a lot of us, we struggle to really articulate exactly what it is we bring to the world. So there's a piece that we talk about, unlock your value. It enables you to pull out different things in different ways, such as actually, I'm quite good at that. And that's something I can talk about. Maybe that is quite a unique thing. I'm really good at that. So that's another thing that is helpful. I've written a book called Time to Shine, which is, apart from being my mother's favorite book, the interesting thing about Time to Shine is it's a compilation. So I write content. What I've done is created a compilation around 100 blogs that I've written over the last 6 or 7 years. And it's a good example. The articles themselves are good examples of building thought leadership, building confidence, building influence. It's very much the things that we've been talking about today. So they'll be relevant in that sense. But also it's a great way of you actually to see how content works. So I publish these things as LinkedIn articles individually. Then I've compiled them into a book, and it's a great way you can build content repurpose content. So that's great. But I'd love to give you all a free ebook version of that if you're interested. And lastly, if anyone's interested in getting specific guidance to be a guide, if you like, about helping you to build your personal brand or working with your institution to really understand the opportunities and how personal brand and brand generally is a good thing, both for the individual and the organization, for all the reasons we've spoken about, then also very happy to have a discovery call with you. So there's a link in the notes to how you can book a time or spend half an hour or so talking, working out where you are, where you're trying to get to, and potentially how we may be able to help you to do that and accelerate that. Those are some great, all those are free resources I'd love to make available to anyone listening to this.
Oh, that's excellent. That's very generous. Thank you for sharing that. We'll make sure to link to each of those items. And yeah, I mean, your degree program, your faculty, your institution at large, they all will benefit. There are some significant long-term benefits to doing this hard work. I call it work on self, but going through this brand activation, this branding process, is difficult. It takes time. But with these resources, I'm sure anyone can make progress and really reap the rewards of those long-term benefits that we've outlined today. So thank you for that, Mark. Thanks for your time today. It's been a real pleasure. We could talk brand all day. I know that, but we'll have to call it here.
Awesome. Thank you. And really, really enjoyed speaking. And just a final thought, the hardest part is getting started. Once you get going, it's actually believing this becomes pleasurable, and you'll think, you'll learn, you'll evolve, you'll grow and learn to enjoy it and all the benefits that come out of this. Don't be afraid. Have a crack. Go for it.
Thanks for listening to the Higher Ed Happy Hour podcast. For more higher ed specific resources, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please visit unincorporated.com.